If you want to support the show, any of the shows, either this or whichever show, I'm not on right now because this is just a blanket ad for all of them, and the website, you can go to bewareofspoilers, .com. In the description for any of the episodes of Beware of Spoilers, there is the option to donate. If you don't want to donate that way, you can donate directly through the website. We do have that, mwpnews.com. And if you don't want to support that way, then going to mwpnews.com will help out because we have ads there. We don't want to keep it, where there's a lot of ads. There's a few ads. But the point is, we want to make it so that way, we can sustain this for the long term. If people donate, we're never going to paywall anything, I don't think, as of right now. But if people, if people start donating, we'll start doing cooler and cooler stuff. Like donations are how we get to cover stuff like Tribeca and other, film festivals. And, we may be able to bring on more people to help out. So if you want to help out the show and you want more content from us, by all means, even just going and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify helps out a lot. But that's it. That's the only ad we'll have on the podcast ever. But here's whatever podcast you're going to be listening to. Good evening, and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. I'm tired. It's been a long day. I'm recording after work because I realized last night when I was coming home, I was like, oh, we'll do X-Men 97. And then I forgot to watch X-Men 97 because I was tired last night after, what's it called? After seeing Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. So here we are. And we're here to talk about a post-mortem on the entirety of the Bad Batch. Now that the Bad Batch has wrapped itself up. I feel like the issue is, this is a show that started out with a lot of problems. I think that there's something to be said about the Star Wars animated stuff, especially being great for providing context. There's this thing we've always praised Dave Filoni for, this idea of like, okay, so we have all these shows and they are, what's it called? They are, what's what I'm looking for here? Like, they're there to flesh out some of the weirder parts of the Star Wars canon. Like, that's what, Rebels provides more context for the bridge between episode 3 and episode 4. Like, Clone Wars really deeply establishes the relationships in the Jedi and the Jedi Order, leading between episode 2 and episode 3. The Bad Batch is designed to kind of bridge into where we are with, like, Andor, and, I mean, this started before Andor, but, like, bridging into what are we doing broadly with, the Star Wars universe as the Empire is on the upswing. In the immediate aftermath of Order 66 and the rising tide of tyranny as the Empire takes over, it's that plus the idea of what an encroachment of tyranny can look like as it transitions. Like, they're calling themselves the Empire. And the slow move from, like, the general Empire, like, the Republic into that. Like, the assigning of the what was it, the chain codes or whatever it is, which is, like, the, for lack of a better word, the Star Wars equivalent of a social security number, which, where you can't travel without this number, so we can track where you're going and all that kind of stuff. And this idea, and I know it's, I sound like a lunatic, but like that's what the point of that was. It was the Empire was doing that. When you frame it that way, instead of framing this as how you get your benefits, it is what it is. So, all of that said, when we watch this show, it's at its strongest over the course of all three seasons when it is telling us these kind of stories. When it is filling us in on the question of the difference between the conscripted army and the army of clones that we have become familiar with through the lens of Clone Force 99 and the other clones who are left behind by this change. Like, that's what makes this show work as well as it did. It was the, let's take this thing and put it up to, you know, and not change it per se, but like give us a look into what, you know, what goes into this thought process based on general human behavior is the best way to put it. Where it's like, that was one of my favorite things of the show. It's like, okay, so why get rid of the clones? Why, you know, why wouldn't the clone army continue to work? Besides having Jango Fett's dead. I mean, Boba Fett's still alive. They can use his. I mean, and even then, it's like, he's a, you know, he's still a clone, so there is the cloning deterioration thing. Whatever. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is, like, in this world, it's like, why wouldn't you go with the disposable clone army if you want to take over? And it's like, look, they give a good reason. It's like, look, the clones won't just commit these atrocities. We need humans to do it. And then the way they interweave that in, you know, where the conscripts will do things that the clones won't and commit war crimes and just oppress for the sake of oppressing through blind nationalism, it's an interesting look. And for the show to do that, and do that as well as it does, it leaves, you know, it handled that very well. And then we get to the end of season two, where, you know, we now have, you know, Omega has been captured, she's been brought to Tantus, because now we're going to try and, you know, use this show to fill in some of the gaps going into episode 9. And that's kind of the biggest problem that we have with this show. Is, oh fuck, how am I gonna get over this? Fuck me. There's definitely something going on with Long Island Railroad right now, but there's MTA police everywhere. I'm trying to do mental math to figure out where I am and how I can get over to the other side of the train tracks without, you know. Oh, it's a signal problem. Bully. And this is happening now, not tomorrow. I'm on my way to work. But regardless, the point I'm trying to make is that the, you know, we're going to try and tie up these loose ends that specifically come from, you know, not being able to handle the fundamental issue with, what's it called? The word I'm looking for here, I just can't think about it off my head. The fundamental issue with, what was her name? With Omega, and how Omega ties back, and how the resurgence of the cloning program is meant really just to bring back, you know, to resurrect the Emperor. That's what they're here to do. And if they can bring the Emperor back, that's great, and they want to be able to have that as a thing there. And look, I get it. I get what this is all going for. It's like, look, a lot of what's been going on in these, you know, in these shows has been trying to correct mistakes that have happened, and that's kind of what they've done over the course of a lot of these shows on all of these, you know, Star Wars things. It is, this show is here to, you know, correct the errors of the past. We're here to try and, you know, explain away some of the things that we didn't really explain well in the movies, like the relationship between, you know, between these characters, which is what the Clone Wars is, you know, the origins of the, what's it called, of the rebellion in Rebels, and now with this, we're trying to explain, you know, this is explaining away key aspects of the military in that. But also, as we get into season 9, it is explaining away, season 3, we're explaining away parts of why, you know, what happened leading, you know, to lead to the Emperor's resurrection. And I think that that's kind of where the show lost me. Because, look, I get it. People continue to joke about somehow Palpatine returned. And it's a ridiculous line. And it's just like, look, we don't know how to explain it. You know, it happened, and it's a key part of this movie, but the Emperor is back. it's I don't think we need to have as much work, and besides the fact that, like, look, they're working on a cloning program. And I think the thing that really irked me about this season, I think more than really anything else, was the fact that it spent as much time as it did using these, like, and the thing is, too, it's like, I don't think it's the show's fault. I think it's Lucasfilm's fault, because Lucasfilm made the announcement and all of that. Lucasfilm announced, okay, we're making a, what's it called? We're making a movie, you know, that's going to tie up all of the, you know, and I don't think it was Lucasfilm that did this. I think it was our own expectations. But, like, look, we're going to end off this. Thrawn's the bad guy. So it's been dubbed the Heir to the Empire movie. I don't think it's been explicitly dubbed that by Lucasfilm, but it is basically the Heir to the Empire movie, where it's like, look, here's a movie that's going to wrap up all the stuff in the, you know, that takes place after Return of the Jedi. Thrawn's going to be the bad guy. It's Heir to the Empire, the movie. Like, this is not a, what's it called? This is not, you know, that's what this is. So this idea that, like, we are going to, you know, announce that, and then this season is going to have, you know, not Thrawn or anything like that, but Tantus is going to feature as heavily as it does. And this is where the cloning program is. It's going to clone the Emperor. And, you know, and I've said it all through this season, this issue of the M count, you know, clones, and worrying about, you know, clones being able to hold their M count, as they get cloned. And it's like, I understand. Like, and I think that there had to have been a calculus that Lucasfilm should have done, where it's like this idea that, like, if you're watching this show, it's probably a safe assumption that you have watched the, what's it called? You have watched the various, you know, movies. And considering what this show is, which is spun out of, you know, this show spun out of, you know, what was that called? The show spun out of the Clone Wars. Considering that this show did spin out of the Clone Wars the way it did, you could probably assume people watch the Clone Wars and also watch the movies. That feels like a fairly safe bet. The issue that I have as I watch this is that it treats the viewer like they don't know what's going on. So something that is going to come down the line is going to be a big reveal. And in this case, that big reveal is, oh, they want to be able to preserve the Force. And they want to be able to be like, oh, well, you know, these clones are able to retain their... Because for whatever reason, the cloning process is not kind to retaining your ability to use the Force. They probably explained it somewhere, I don't remember. But the cloning process, that tends to not work. And the clones don't keep the ability to use the Force. The issue is, it's like when you watch this and you're like, yeah, but we know where this inevitably ends up. We know down the line that this show is going to wrap up and we're going to be in a world where Palpatine has somehow returned and he's able to use the Force. So, if you want to just make it like, okay, so they're trying to figure out how to do that, that's fine. But to give the team something to do, and that something to do be, they got to figure out what the M count, you know, what M count targets are. That's where the show loses me. Because the minute you do that, what you're telling me is, what I already know coming in doesn't matter. And not in a, oh, throw out, like, forget everything you know, and we're going to give you more information. It's just, no, you're just going to sit here while we do this, while we, you know, while we try to explain, you know, while we try to basically just tell you what you already know. And for me to be this far ahead for a sizable chunk of the season, it's kind of just ridiculous. And then the same goes for things like Asajj Ventress showing up. It's like, you know, there's that meme, you know, up, oh, here's Glup Shiddo, and Glup Shiddo is here to, you know, and it's like, if you know who Glup Shiddo is, you're in for a good time, but if you don't know who Glup Shiddo is, well, that sucks, because it's like, here's this character, and it's like, look, Asajj Ventress is cool. Asajj Ventress is a cool character, but Asajj Ventress had her time. And Asajj Ventress has been killed in the books, and we know where she ends up, because we read Dark Disciple. I mean, some of us have read Dark Disciple. Spoilers if you haven't read Dark Disciple yet. But bringing her in for this, it's like, why? Like, it feels like you're in a, like, you know what it feels like a little bit? It feels like on the iCarly reboot, where it's like, it was kind of on the bubble about getting rebooted for a new season at the end of episode 2. So season 3 kind of goes all in on Carly and Freddie's relationship and being like, look, Carly and Freddie are together, isn't this great? In an effort to get people who were into that back in the day to watch it. But it just, it doesn't quite, you know, it just feels like, oh, well, you know, if you like the Clone Wars, but you weren't watching now, look, Asajj Ventress is here, and who knows how long she's, and she's in for one episode, and it's like, okay, cool, that's nice, but what does this, you know, what does this help, you know, because it could have been literally anyone, like, that role she's in did not have to be Asajj Ventress. And I also don't think that it needed to be, you know, it, like, it could have been any character. It could have been a bounty hunter. It could have been, you know, anyone. And it just, it could have been a character we've never heard of before. Like, oh, by the way, here's the thing that you're looking for, and here's what it is. And for it to take as long as it gets to get to that, and then, you know, all right, she does the test on Omega, and it's like, okay, well, Omega is not a Jedi. She can't use the Force. It's like, all right, great, moving on. All right. And I think, to an extent, this last season, for me, botches the landing so much. And on top of that, it's like, okay, so they rescue Omega at the... Omega escapes at the beginning, and they get reunited, okay. Then it's like, the episode before the finale, or 2 episodes before the finale, it's like, okay, Omega's captured again, she's brought back to Tantus, and now they have to get back to Tantus. It's like, but why was this a season-long thing to begin with? This season feels like it should have just been a 2-hour movie to wrap up and just call it a day. Because, like, alright, she leaves Tantus, then goes back to Tantus, then the team goes back to Tantus, they fuck up Tantus, and then that's the end of it. This last season really soured the show. And I think the thing is, too, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, you go back and you watch it, and it's like, I don't think the first 2 seasons were particularly special when it comes to what this is. I think it has moments, and there are episodes that are just like, oh, like, this is a genius way to explain why X, Y, and Z happened. Like, I think that's a good use of these shows. But where season 3 kind of falls off is it's asking to provide context for things we don't need. And that's kind of where the Star Wars shows have been at their weakest. It's, if I'm not asking a question, don't give me an answer for it. Like, I don't need Book of Boba Fett to explain to me, like, the intricacies of Boba Fett escaping and then what he's doing. Like, who cares what Boba Fett is doing, you know, while he's, you know, when he's not helping out, you know, Mando and Grogu. Like, I that's not information I need. All right, he's a crime lord, but not really. Like, because he's, you know, he's the protagonist of a Disney Plus show, so he's a crime lord who's, like, no drugs and no violence. It's like, oh, you're a bundle of fun, aren't you? But therein lies the fundamental problem I have with this show. I think the show does make a lot of key mistakes like that, and it's just the recurrence of these, like, recurrence of these issues across Star Wars in its current form is kind of starting to become obvious as you see it more and more. Which is a shame. It's a shame that's how far we've come. What else have we got that I wanted to address at this? I think I've basically got everything. I don't think the show does anything particularly terrible. Like, and that's the thing about the early episodes of this show, is that you get into that and you're just living in this world, and the animation is just so beautiful, like, for what the aesthetic is of animated Star Wars, and it's something that carries over to, like, Tales of the Empire. But the fundamental thing that I feel like I keep going back to is, you know, going back to my criticism of Visions Part 2, or Visions Volume 2. Going back to my, I mean, sticking with my criticisms here. My criticisms the other day of Tales of the Empire. It feels like we're just telling the same stories over and over again with different characters in different positions. Like, and it's one thing when it happens in Visions, because Visions is them saying, you're going to tell a series of non-canon Star Wars stories, do whatever you want, don't worry about sticking to the rules as established, and just make something beautiful. And to that end, it's like they do, you know, those shows handle it pretty well. Those shows handle it very well. And when you give all these studios that leeway, a lot of times you're going to get back to the same thing. It's like how Evolution always comes back to the crab. Like, Evolution is just, whatever the lengthy process is to get an organism to be a crab, like, that apparently is peak evolution. That's kind of what this is, where it's like, okay, so you're going to tell a story, well, you're going to do Bounty Hunters, or you're going to do the Dark Side, or Jedi versus Sith. Like, and all right, cool, it looks good, and all that, but how many times can we look at this and be like, all right, this is a worthwhile use of my time? It's the same thing with these shows, where it's like, alright, this is, I'm tired of seeing stories in the same era, and again, it's like, it's one of those things where you go and look at the, what's it called, you go on the Star Wars website, you look at the official timeline, and you're like, there's so much room here to do whatever you want with characters. You know, you can use old characters from the old canon, you can create entirely new characters, you can do whatever the ever-living fuck you want. And we keep going back to, well, here's what's happening in the Empire right now. And the Empire, they're oppressive, don't worry. And there are people who are fighting against it. And it's like, oh, well, here's that Inquisitor who doesn't quite, you know, want to be an Inquisitor. But she doesn't really have a choice, so she's going to try to escape. Like, and again, it's like, in this show, you have that whole issue where it's like, I don't need more of this at this point. And it's disappointing because it's like, if the next announced Star Wars animated show, which could come at D23, it could come at Comic-Con, there's plenty of space for this to be announced. If the next announced Star Wars show is another one where it's like, oh, and we're around this same period again, or even if it is like, well, we're doing another Star Wars show, and it's set during the New Republic times, or like, oh, you remember Jedi Quest? Those books that were set between Episodes 1 and Episode 2, with, on the back cover, it was Jake Lloyd and Hayden Christensen with, like, a morph between the two of them. It was, like, a mid-grade Star Wars book about Anakin and Obi-Wan's adventures. Like, we're gonna do something like that. I hate to say it, but I'm gonna be in the situation where I'm like, I'm not super engaged by this. Like, I'll watch it. I'm gonna tune in. I mean, because, you know, I cover it for the show. But this is not something that's interesting to me. Give me something different. Do something different outside of the same little period we've been dealing with. Because, like, the Star Wars saga takes place over the course of, like, what, 60 years as it is right now? The entire trilogy takes place between, you know, it's 19, so 29 years. Is the prequels. Then, like, 3 years is the original trilogy. Then, so that's 32. Then 39 years, which is 70. So looking at about, you know, about 75 years is how long the Star Wars saga takes place over. Don't correct me if I'm wrong. I'm doing mental math while I record. So, like, if that's the case, and we're looking at, like, you know, this entire thing takes place over this course of 79 years, or 75 years, give or take, like, why don't we go after that? Why don't we go before that? Why don't we go, like, Tales of the Newer Republic, where it's like, what's going on after Rise of Skywalker? Tales of the Resistance, what's going on there? Even that would be a breath of fresh air, considering how much these shows have just been focusing around the Galactic Civil War. Give us new. Give us different. Even if the different is something I read in the book 15 years ago, that isn't canon anymore. Like, I'll take that, because that'll feel more different than what we've been getting up until this point. But until that point, where we do get that, we will wrap up there for today. Tomorrow morning, we'll be talking about X-Men 97, catching up on that. And we'll be talking about the girls on the bus on Saturday. So until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.